You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
I'm John Batchelor with the New World Report, thanks to my good colleagues Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, who's traveling, and Joseph Umar, just returned from his testimony to Congress about weaponized migration. Now we turn to the drug story, which is a subset of weaponized migration. The narco-terror gangs tend to be not only human smugglers, but also drug smugglers, gun smugglers, bad actors, like an army that is some fantastic version of superheroes on the other side of good and bad. But we go to Mexico because the cartels that dominate the story of migration and drug smuggling across the borders with the United States have been treated as if they're forever, that they can't be touched. And even during the AMLO time in office, they avoided confrontation. And now Ms. Sheinbaum, Claudia Sheinbaum, the former mayor of Mexico City, was not seen to be a challenge to that. However, Mr. Trump, the Trump administration, has made one of the details that must be satisfied, the question of the cartels. And we have this news, Joseph. Mexican law enforcement arrested an alleged cartel recruiter tied to a ranch where clothing and human remains were found in the state of Jalisco, according to the security minister in Mexico City. This is a major arrest of the Jalisco cartel. Is that significant, Joseph, or do these things happen now and again?
No, this is significant. Obviously, there has been arrests of Jalisco members in the past, but I think what you're starting to see is you're starting to see a shift happening inside Mexico because of the pressure that President Trump and his administration has put on the government of Mexico to go after the cartels, particularly the ones that are involved in fentanyl trafficking, and shutting down the fentanyl labs and being able to essentially wedge the cartels away from the Mexican government. Now, that's a tall order. That's a tall task. And I don't necessarily know that this is going to be something that we've seen a complete shift in it. But he's certainly putting the Mexican government on the ropes. And I think that what we're you know, ventured to see in the near future is we're going to see more arrests of cartel members. You know, the one that always has been historically very close to the government is the Sinaloa cartel. Jalisco has been in competition with Sinaloa for quite a long time, but they've grown very aggressively over the last few years, mostly because of their ability to take over remnants of where the previous Zetas cartel left off. And I think now what we're going to start to see is we're going to start to see more arrests of Jalisco members. But the key is we also want to see more arrests of Sinaloa members to basically understand that we're going after the cartels wholesale and not just look cherry picking as has been done by the Mexican government in the past. So it's a good news, but it's also not something that it's good news, but it's something that we want to see much more broader in the weeks and months to come.
Joseph, how does this connect, if it does, to weaponized migration? Are the cartels ideological as well, or I've gotten the impression it's follow the money with them?
Well, I mean, it's follow the money with almost any transnational criminal organization. However, I would say that in today's threat environment, whether it's the Mexican cartels or Tren del Agua from Venezuela or MS-13 from El Salvador, they're used as proxies. And sometimes they're used as proxies even unwittingly, like they're not necessarily involved in the strategy, but they're still utilized because the governments that are involved in these type of, you know, blending with transnational criminal organizations look at them as the ability to pre-position inside territories where they normally wouldn't have access. And so in the case of the United States, a lot of this is territories along the border. And so because, like, let's use, you know, Venezuela, for instance, the Venezuelan government's not going to be able to position themselves as a government along the U.S.-Mexico border. But through Trinidad, they can do that and understand that the Mexican cartels have been dominating that territory along the border for several decades. And so this is kind of the way I see. I see transnational organized crime used in as a proxy of asymmetric warfare, which uses weaponized migration. And that's the standard in the 21st century. And I was doing an interview, John, and one of the media members once asked me, said, well, how can President Trump use the Alien Enemies Act, for instance, against the Trinidad, when there is no declared war with Venezuela? And I responded by saying, did Iran declare war on Israel when Hamas attacked its people in October 7th of 2023? The answer is no, because in the 21st century, countries don't declare war on other countries. They basically just use proxies to attack those countries and have a high degree of plausible deniability. Well, that's the same thing that's happening today with the cartels, with Trinidad, with MS-13. Those are proxies of other governments.
Ernesto, I think this is good news about Brazil, and I'm keen on it. Hanoi, a dateline I never thought I'd associate with Lula da Silva. But he's in Hanoi, the capital of Vietnam, to do business with a large delegation of business from Brazil, including Embraer, the plane manufacturer, looking to sell planes to Vietnam. What is surprising to me is that Lula da Silva used to be the guy who would be out there taking pot shots at President Trump for deporting this or saying that or using colonial tactics to bully people. But he's not. He's talking about doing business for Brazil. Has he changed or did I misunderstand him?
I think he's bidding his time and reorganizing his foreign policy to deal with Trump. Like most of the world, right? Well, first of all, the trip to Asian countries and also his arriving today in Japan, this is a path that we opened during the Bolsonaro government, the Asian and also the restructuring of the relationship with Japan, which had been abandoned by the first Lula government. Anyway, but I think Lula is also hoping for Trump not to be too much of a Trump in what he does towards Latin America, like we were discussing before. So deport Trinidad, maybe go after Cristina Kirchner in a way, but leave Brazil alone, leave his
we have
Lula's
30 seconds
alone.
30 yeah. seconds, Ernesto.
So, I think Lula is betting on the concept of a multipolar world where the U.S. would be its own pole and Latin America would be free to associate itself with the totalitarian pole of Russia and China.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Omar, executive director of Secure Free Society, New World Report.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.